Molly almost gets murked, the monstering adds a few new members, and Joel becomes a peacekeeper. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us today for another after show of The Reprisal. We are talking season one, episode four, on the principles of Horsehound. I'm your host, Latoya Blakely, and here with me today is my wonderful co-host, A Diamond, who is a crime and suspense connoisseur.
I gotta change it so it's so much easier. Hey guys, what's up? Thank you for joining. Let's get after it.
Happy to be here.
I'm
happy you're here. So yeah, let's get after it. Today we have a lot to cover. Like I said, Molly almost gets murked, but she surprises us all. Joel isn't so happy with the way that things are going. We learn a lot more about Bernice and Earl. The cops have a night off. So much to talk about. So let's just jump right in. Adama, can you tell me what you thought about this episode?
I was blown away mainly by Molly. I'm going to be honest. That was a shocker and also a delight. It was really good. Yeah, I'm just stuck on Molly right now. I want to talk about how amazing her character has developed.
I kind of agree with you. Molly kind of stole this episode. We'd seen her one way and she became something else.
Yeah.
So my overall thoughts of the episode is, like every episode, it keeps me just on the edge of my seat, following along and always excited to see what happens next. I thought it was a great episode. So talking about Molly, I mean, what did you think about her? She had such a transformation during this episode.
Yeah, and I was, you know, I was just wondering when we were going to see her take a bigger role. I either wanted her to leave or something to happen, so, and I'm glad something happened. And, you know, it all springs from Big Graham finding out where her location is and then, of course, sending his lawyer. And there's that moment, I believe, it's that she, like, goes on a cleaning spree and then goes and talks to the front desk guy, and that's a weird interaction. He's just not paying attention to anything. And then, of course, the lawyer comes to town and is a creep with the gas station guy and is a super creep with that front desk guy of the motel and steals the whole board of keys.
And his choice phrases in the car when he was practicing the language.
Yeah.
What did it say? The bones are in the barrel.
The bones are right where they should be.
Right.
Yeah, interesting tape. But, okay, so, okay, do you remember that scene, that part when he's, like, looking in all the rooms?
Yes.
And the first room he opens, it looks like it's on fire.
So I missed that. Like, while watching the episode, I realized that I missed what was behind the door, and I never went back to, like, see what it was.
Nothing. You don't see anything, but you just see, like, in the crack of the, like, as much as he opens it, it's, like, there's, looks like it's debris of, like, fire, and then there's, like, it sounds like kids are playing at a playground. It's really weird, and I don't know what that means. It was, like, two shows are, he, like, you know, like, two different shows are happening almost.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Some weird mystical, like, fairy tale show. I don't know. It was weird.
Okay.
The room was on fire.
Clearly.
Does anybody know or have any idea what that means? Let us know.
Please do. If you know,
yeah,
leave it in the comments. But you made an interesting point. You said that you either wanted Molly to leave or you wanted her to do something.
Yeah.
Well, she does almost leave, right? She gives Doris this whole speech about, like, you have a purpose. I'm finding my purpose. I'm leaving here. What really got me, though, when she was like, I'm going to tell the cops that you killed Colin, and then I'm going to take the restaurant and make you so proud.
Yeah.
Be so proud of me. I was like, has she lost her mind?
Yeah, probably.
I think she lost her mind.
And thank you for bringing that up, because I thought it was so odd that she was like, gonna rat you out, but I won't tell your location, promise. Like, how does she not know that this woman wouldn't turn around and kill her?
Right.
Like, she killed your husband, and she's putting together a gang to kill other people. Like, the audacity for Molly to think that she would be safe even saying that, or that she would actually let her, that Doris would let her leave, was like, she lost her mind.
Maybe it was more of like an ultimatum. I know I can get that way in relationships where, like, things aren't happening quite right, right? And I need to, like, shake things up,
yeah,
or say something, but, like, never have any intention, because Doris didn't seem to be that concerned about
it. Maybe she was trying to get from Doris to like trying to get Doris to make her more part of the team.
Right.
And, but I don't know. She seemed so for real. Like she was.
She did. She thought about it.
Yeah. She was. I felt like she was really going to leave.
Like, and the whole, like, take the restaurant. I wonder what part was she like, okay, the restaurant's going to be mine. Or maybe she just decided, like, Doris clearly didn't want the restaurant and was never going to go back. So, like, she...
Or she needs to step in because her husband's no longer working for Big Graham. So she's like, I'll be my husband. Like, I'll somehow take the place of what my husband was going to do. Or I don't...
And she thought Big Graham would just forgive them, I guess. Or forgive her if she came back and was like, no, Doris did it.
She's adorable. Like, the thing that she wouldn't, that she could actually leave, that she'd be able to leave and tell on Doris, or even take over the restaurant. Like, maybe a little delirious.
Even the way she cleaned that room.
Yeah.
I was like, can you come to my house?
Yeah.
I have some baseboards that I was could like, be scrubbed.
I was doing notes, and I'm like, well, cleaning is very therapeutic. I'm like, what is she doing? This is great. She's going, I thought she was settling into the place. Like, I thought she was getting comfortable with her new life. And so she's like making a house a home, doing what I'm used to, trying to get comfortable in the situation, not going to clean it so that I can leave.
I just thought she was really restless and was trying to find something to, like, occupy her mind, which then leads her to the guy for coffee, and she tried to have a conversation with someone who clearly had zero interest in her.
Yeah, I wonder if she thought at that moment she was leaving. Like, her cleaning maybe wasn't like thinking she's going to leave, but when she talks to that guy, she kind of zones out, and then she's kind of getting teary-eyed. Yeah. And maybe it was in that moment that she decided she was going to leave.
Or in that moment she realized that her best place was with Doris, because I got paid her no attention. And so if you think about it, she kind of had a pattern of like being paid no attention.
Yeah.
And so Doris wasn't giving her what she wanted, but at least Doris was giving her some attention. And so maybe in that moment it was like, okay, I can't leave because no one cares about me except maybe Doris, but I have to make her
proud.
I have to make her bring, like, I have to do something to like get her attention. Maybe it was just a way to get her attention.
Maybe.
Well, anyway, the lawyer shows up. And he thinks that this is just going to be a piece of cake and he's going to wipe her out.
Yeah. And he's like boasting about it. Not boasting, but he's
kind of
to the gas station attendant.
Oh, yeah.
When he's acting like he doesn't speak English. And he's talking about, I'm going to take a wire hanger. I think that would be a good idea to kill her. And he's like talking about it to her. And then he goes in confidently like, oh, it's just some housewife.
Yeah.
This is going to be easy. And then he even has that conversation with her where, like, at what point did she decide that she would need to stick up for herself? Or, like, you know that moment when he's telling her about Colin,
mm-hmm.
and how Colin would go out, you know, and commit adultery constantly, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, I tell him, why are you even married? Just be single. Like, you know, yeah. having that conversation, you could see in her, it something changing in her.
Yeah.
At this point, she already had stealthily taken the iron and put it, like, hit it.
Yes.
But, like, at what point, like, I feel like something clicked where even if she, like, she didn't have to, she could have decided not to or been too afraid to, like, attack him and hit him.
Mm-hmm.
And after she does it the first time, I'm like, and he's kind of barely fazed by it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh, she's dead.
Well, I was screaming, don't stop, don't stop.
I know, like,
keep
going.
Hitting him.
Yeah, she just stopped, and then he's like getting on her, and she's just like, you know, cowering almost. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be.
Well, you talked about like something breaking or happening. And so, mm-hmm. right, when he starts talking about Colin, at this point, now he's rubbing her face in it, and he's mm-hmm. basically torn her apart. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
I don't even know if he knows that he's doing that.
No, I think so. I feel like it was extremely intentional. Like,
really?
He was putting her in her place, letting her know just how insignificant she was, mm-hmm. how Colin was amazing. And so I'm really going to enjoy doing this to you because of what you did to my friend. So I think that something
broke in her. Well, he was saying,
I'm going to
really enjoy this after he hits her.
Well,
she hits him.
Right. He was going to enjoy it anyway,
didn't
really enjoy
yeah.
it after that. But so him talking about Colin made something break in her. And then it's almost like once he had been hit, maybe realized she wasn't as much of a pushover, and or now he's so infuriated that she had the audacity.
Mm-hmm.
So now he was really going to enjoy.
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think he was like, how dare you? And then it's almost like she, and of course she cowers over and she doesn't do it again, which is like perfect to get us to the next scene to then be completely shocked when they come back to the hotel room. But yeah, I think he was like, baffled. He was like, oh, this is cute. No. Like, nothing of it.
And what do you think when they opened that door?
I thought it was going to be, the room was going to be her dead in it. That's what I mean, that was the obvious,
yeah,
you know, thought. Yeah. But I actually really loved that moment where, you know, Doris first walks in and then Cordell walks in and Earl is like,
you see it on his face from outside.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. This, what is it going to be?
Yeah.
Because nobody screams. Did you know, I feel like if you walk in and if Doris was to find her dead body, she would have been like, Molly or something. And when nothing happened and he's slowly walking in, that changed. I'm like, oh, something else happened.
Yeah.
And then you see her like looking like Carrie.
Exactly. Yeah. This is Carrie 100%, right?
Yeah.
Just for different reasons.
Yes.
And the writing, I don't think we really talked about the writing, but to me, the writing is pretty brilliant on this show when she says, he tried to do the thing, so I tried to do the thing, and then I did the thing.
And then the thing happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when Cordell says, how did that get up
there? How'd that piece get up there? She's like, yeah, I was like, disgusting, it's probably a piece of brain.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Doris being ever prim and proper Doris, she's like, honey, that's okay.
She's like, yeah, she's like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, just keeping it together. I mean, in that moment, I thought of what a great mother she would be, because a kid, if her child ever did messed up really bad, or like, I don't know, kids do weird things.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's just so understanding, doesn't want to judge her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, has that feeling of nothing's, it's, you're totally fine.
Yeah.
Just caring, you know.
That was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a whole lot with Molly.
Before we keep going, a diamond has a message for our viewers. Oh, yes, guys. Hey, you know what? If you are on YouTube right now, please like, subscribe, comment. We love your participation in all of this. If you're on Instagram, find us at AfterBuzzTV. Rate us on iTunes. We really love doing this, and we love that you guys love this as well. Talking about TV is like probably a dream that I never knew was possible, and you guys make it possible. So thank you so much for being a part of this. Tell your friends, share, like, subscribe, do it all.
Do it all. Jumping right back in. So Molly has this transformation. Mm-hmm. While she's busy basically saving her life, that's what she did. Mm-hmm. Doris is finishing her pitch with Cordell and Alvin. Mm-hmm. And so we pick up where, with Doris and Alvin and Cordell, we pick up where episode 3 left off.
Yeah.
Where we Doris had just taken out.
Yeah.
Bolo.
Mm-hmm. Which is an amazing scene as well.
Right?
Yeah.
And so Alvin and Doris are having this conversation.
Earl.
I'm calling him Alvin.
There's two people have so many
Doris
names.
Doris doesn't know his name yet.
Oh,
so
okay.
Doris still calls him Alvin. But yes, his name is Earl.
Yeah.
So we'll call him Earl.
Yeah.
So Earl and Cordell and Doris are still in the office. They're having this conversation. Cordell and Earl are trying to figure out what's happened. Why did Doris bring Bolo in? And Doris basically says, like, I needed you to trust me and to know that I have your back. And he would have found you. He would have killed you. Mm-hmm. And Earl says, I think he's like, damn, that ish was impressive.
Yeah.
And so for me, that was a moment where they realized that they really could trust her. Mm-hmm. What did you think about that?
I agree. It was definitely a moment that maybe even we needed as viewers to actually fully put our trust in Doris's plan and her capabilities. I mean, I didn't know that she was, and I knew she has, obviously she's intelligent, she's great, she's methodical, but the mastery and the confidence in her ability to know that she wouldn't get shot in that moment is amazing. And I think we needed that as viewers to also trust her and want them to join the group and believe it, be successful. So yeah, I think I'm glad that that was the thing that solidified their bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Doris learns more about the Monster Ring. Earl and Cordell take her out, kind of show her how they do business.
Yeah.
They don't take from good people. They mm-hmm. only take from bad people. Mm-hmm. They stake them out, learn their schedules, mm-hmm. learn when to go in. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the episode, the Monster Ring has two new members. They've accepted Doors. Mm-hmm. And they've accepted Molly, more so at the urging of Earl, because Earl's like, you can't leave her. Mm-hmm. We have to take her. Mm-hmm. So we might as well, like, put her to use.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And I give the... Is this, they give the, her the little masks?
Yeah, 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 yeah. That was cute.
That was great.
So,
oh, but even more so, I loved the part where, in the, when they're talking outside on the porch, they she's talking about Big Graham. Well, she finally opens up about
yes.
her Big Graham being the person that she's having to like get through all this stuff.
And Cordell and Earl.
Just die laughing. They can't even. I think that that moment, they're cracking jokes. I think that was all like ad lib. Like they were for real cracking jokes yeah. on Big Graham, laughing like hysterically laughing.
Right. Perspective, right?
Yes.
Because to Doris, he's yes. like this monster that she has to take down. And to Cordell and Earl, they're like, that joke? Yeah. Like, that dude, we robbed
That's
him
a
so
speed
many
bump.
Times.
Yeah. yeah. Six times. Yeah. And so even I, there was a weight off my shoulders. But my biggest thing was like that her biggest concern is definitely with the brawlers and the ghouls. Like that was her main focus. And so as much as it was a relief for us to know that they could totally handle Big Graham, I was still like, yeah, but you guys have like a massive, massive journey in front of you and a like, so yay, laugh about Big Graham because just wait, like that's not even the biggest part like right. of your job. Like, has nothing to do with Big Graham. Like,
well, you bring up a good point. So the Monster Ring has added new members, mm-hmm. but we're starting to see that the brawlers may not be as settled as we thought they were. We see that Joel isn't yeah. quite happy with the way things are going, and he can feel that a war is coming, and he's trying to do everything that he can to stop this war. Mm-hmm. He has a meeting with James, who mm-hmm. is the leader of the ghouls. Mm-hmm. What did you think, just in general, about what we saw from Joel in this episode?
Well, I think we saw him take big steps and by decreasing their tax percentage, and that was a huge peace offering. And I thought in that conversation, even more so, James kind of brings up the what started their whole war. Like, man, do you really believe that our people killed? You know, when he asked that question to him.
That was big.
I was like, so the crazy thing is, like, the ghouls know they obviously didn't do it. So the fact that they know this truth, and the brawlers, and he knows exactly what happened that day, that they killed, you know, like, he knows exactly what happened. I just thought it was like, how do the ghouls allow
right.
them to even charge them the taxes or even continue with, like, this war when they know they didn't do it? Like, I can't imagine, like, I don't know how to, like, explain it, like, to articulate what I'm thinking or feeling, but, like, do you know what I mean? How could the ghouls even just let them believe? How could they let the brawlers believe that lie?
Well, I think it's two things. One, I forgot that Joel was there, but he was there. He had long hair back then. Mm-hmm. So he was there, and he knows that the ghouls didn't do it. But two, I think it speaks to the power of the brawlers, that the ghouls would let the brawlers kind of set the terms. Right. You know what I mean? Then to me, that shows yeah. that ultimately they are either afraid
yeah.
and or that the brawlers supply so much, whether it's stability, money, business, opportunity, that they're willing to just deal with the consequences and move on.
Yeah.
But that takes us further
it just makes
down
me think,
the line.
Yeah.
I just want to know what was really the point of it.
Of what? Of him asking?
No, of Bert doing that, of them doing that, of killing their own men.
Because
right.
I think Bert wanted to run things a different way. I think he wanted more power, and he thought the only way to do that was to get rid of maybe the people who didn't want the gang to go in a certain direction, to go in Bert's direction. So he kills those people, maybe, and gets rid of them and sets this up so that he can create, first of all, loyalty within their own community.
Yeah.
Because once you have an enemy, you have a common enemy, you become a stronger bond. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So I think he knew he was creating that. But ultimately, I think he was just trying to make the brawlers a different type of gang.
Well, we know know that usually when there are criminal enterprises, whether we're talking mafia or like modern gangs, you know, there's always the rumor and or evidence that there are some cops who may be considered bad cops or help me. What's the word?
Shady. No, but I know what you're saying. Help us.
I know. What word is it? Dirty cops.
Dirty cops.
That helps these organizations kind of, you know, fulfill their goals.
Yeah.
And this is no different in this show. So we have police officers, and we've seen time and time again how they're kind of in cahoots with these gangs, and they allow the gangs to kind of do what they're doing. And so in this episode, we have Cop Night at the
Bangarang.
And they get to come in and like dance with the girls and do a little drugs. What I found interesting was that they came in their uniforms. Like, there's no hiding what they're doing. What do you think about the cops?
I mean, I'm not shocked with the amount of... No, I'm shocked that the whole entire police force was there. I mean, it was filled corner to corner with cops. So it wasn't just like a few cops that are like kind of shady. It's the whole police force.
The whole.
So I was like, that's insanely, that's a lot. But, you know, so, I mean, I don't know if I even really trust cops in real life. So I totally believe that they would be in cahoots. And I don't know. I'm glad they were having fun. I think it's really funny that, okay, so you know how last episode I was talking to you about Meredith and how I want her... I just need to see some vulnerability from her. I need her to stop being, like, she's so into herself or something. Like, just, I need more dynamic, like, expansive... I need more... I don't know. Anyways. So, the moment when the cop and Joel are talking, right? Well, I don't want to... I'm going to quickly glaze over this because that conversation is pretty important, you know? So, he talks to the cop, Erling or whatever. I don't know. But, and the cop asked for drugs. So then he goes to Meredith and he's like, give me your whole entire stash. Cops don't pay. So not only is she out that whole entire stash, she doesn't get paid for it. And it's everything she's got.
Yeah.
And then right when Joel leaves, she goes, S word. Like that moment of, now what is she going to do? I hadn't seen that yet.
Yeah.
So I was like, good. That's what I want to see, that vulnerability. I want to see you in a moment of struggle.
That's interesting.
And you can't handle it. Yeah.
And the fact that she even handed him everything.
Right.
Right?
Like why?
Right? Kind of surprised me because Meredith seems to be a bit of a rebel.
Right.
But the fact that Joel, all he had to do was ask for it, and she was like, okay, here.
Yeah. Like, she could have just let, I mean, why give it up, you know? But she does.
Yeah.
And she has a moment like, what am I going to do now?
Right.
And it was good to see that. Yeah. So I was like happy. So I got what I asked for. And like, I need a little more vulnerability from her. I need to see more of her struggling because I can't relate.
Who else we got to see more of was Bernice. You know, we learned in this episode that she isn't just a receptionist at Alvin's Landscaping.
And I think we got a vibe, a sense of like something else. Like, she's more than just a receptionist because he was kind of there. There was that tenseness between the two of them. She's fed up with something. I'm like, what is she fed up with? She's just a receptionist. Oh, there's something more there.
What scene? At what part?
So you know when, in the last episode, when Doris comes in with Bolo.
Oh, yeah, like in the very beginning.
Yeah, in the very beginning. There's like, she's sick of it.
Yes.
Bernice is like sick of it.
Right.
So she obviously knows more. She obviously has more of a connection to the guys than that we know.
Right.
So in this episode, we got to see a little bit of what that was.
Well, and we realized that, she was in there when they killed Bolo. But that's where they bring Molly, still covered in blood.
Yeah.
And ask to come inside and clean her up. Mm-hmm. So you're right. And we learned that her and Earl have had a relationship, and it sounds like they've had a kid that died at some point. So what do you think about her relationship to Earl, and what part do you think she's going to play in this? Do you think she'll fade away? Do you think she'll amp up?
I was thinking about that yesterday. I really don't know where I'd see her character going. I feel like at some point maybe she has to step in and become part of their team as well. But she's like so anti whatever they're doing because obviously she lost a son in the game. So like, I don't know. Maybe she fades off. Maybe she's just kind of like that constant character with him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of feel like at some point she might have to jump in and help them.
Yeah, I don't really know what she's going to do either. I will say that when she talked about the son and was like, do you ever think about him? I assumed that it was like a young kid, like 2 years old, that like, I don't know, maybe died in a car accident or something, because there were no details. And the way she said it, I don't know, it just seemed really fresh almost. Right? So yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
But I don't doubt that we'll find out more about their story in the very near future.
Yeah. And I kind of can't believe that he's still in doing like what he does after losing a son to that world.
But we don't know yet what the son died from in this episode.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We'll find out, guys.
I guess so.
So this is a good place to end. We are about out of time for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. We cannot do this without you. Please join in, comment. If you want to be a part of the live feed, you can comment, and we will be more than happy to respond. Where can our guests
find you? You know me, A Diamond Baker. Instagram and Twitter, you can find my handle, NotYourType, NOT_YUR_TYPE. Check me out.
And I'm LaToya Blakely. I am on Instagram at LaToya.Blakely and on Twitter at Blakely.LaToya. Check us out. Leave us comments. We look forward to seeing you at the next episode. Until then, buzz you later.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.